Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Quizmaster Lee Brushneider. Mark Davis is on vacation this week, so I'm joined by two of our previous guests and Quizmaster. Welcome, Dallas, and welcome, Seth.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for joining me on the No once more. You guys are, you know, some of my favorite guests, obviously, and it's a pleasure to have you guys back, and I'm looking forward to some questions.
I feel experienced.
You guys both brought questions, right?
Oh yeah. Okay. Got some good stuff. Good.
So we'll just we'll do our standard, like, I don't know, what do they call it? A triple threat match in wrestling, where it's like, I don't know.
Fatal three-way or something.
Yeah. I don't know if there's one where the tag team changes, where it's like, all right, now fight your partner and now fight your, companion.
That would be confusing.
Yeah. We're going to do something like that. We're all going to team up and try and solve each other's trivia. But first, Dallas, you've been hosting your regular trivia over at 1025.
Yes. It's been a little crazy.
How did your Avengers trivia go?
Avengers trivia went really well. I believe there was 23 teams. Yeah. But I got some really, really hard questions because last time people were getting a lot of stuff I didn't think they would get. So I think I went a little too hard this time. There were some teams that were usually really good in the negatives at the end.
Okay. They went all in and then still failed.
Yeah, I felt a little bad. Ouch. Okay.
Well, you know, it's that is a wellspring of trivia. There's, 10 years of movies. 21 movies?
23 now, I believe.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Did you have people cosplaying and dressing up?
There was quite a few cosplayers. Yeah. There was a Spider-Man, Ronin, the Hawkeye. Mm-hmm. It was Star-Lord. There was a couple good ones there.
How about a Thanos? Was there a Thanos?
No, Thanos. Oh, someone did have the gauntlet, though.
Okay.
Oh, that was pretty cool.
All right. This guy actually came to my trivia, and he was like, I've seen you before, and he recognized me from your prior Game of Thrones trivia.
Oh.
And he was telling me that he was going to go and dress up as Thanos, but I wonder if he's the one that had the gauntlet.
Is he a taller gentleman?
I don't know. He was kind of like holed up at Three Pepper in a trivia pose. You know, I didn't see him standing. But you're going to have another Game of Thrones trivia coming up at 1025?
Yes, I believe it's the 28th at the end of this month, after Game of Thrones has ended. Add everything in from this last season and bring back all the good stuff.
Cool. Well, thanks for coming on the podcast again.
When you come up with those questions for this is something I've always wanted to ask because there's so much, it's become such a big part of our lives, Game of Thrones. When trivia quiz masters come up with their questions regarding Game of Thrones, you yourself, are you referencing mostly the shows or do you go by the book?
Well, most people haven't read the book, so obviously. I try and stick with the shows.
Right on.
I will have tiebreakers, and if both of them are comfortable with the books, I'll say, hey, you guys want to do this instead?
Right.
But if not, I'll usually try and keep it show-centric because it gets too complicated and too confusing.
Of course.
Yeah, there's a lot of little changes, and then there's some even characters that are just not present on the show.
No.
You know, and names are different and similar to other names that are different characters in the books. It can get very confusing.
It's no fun.
Yeah.
Try and keep it simple.
Yes, and sometimes the simpler questions are the same in both the books and the movies. Like, I actually asked a Game of Thrones question this week that could have been from the book or the movie. It would have had the same answer.
Right.
So, Seth, you're still doing some true tours in Fort Myers?
I am taking out guided historical tours in downtown Fort Myers on Wednesday, or on Saturday mornings. I was doing them on Thursday mornings. But the way that the season goes, we kind of eliminate our Thursday mornings, and now it's Saturday mornings. But recently, I've started doing our haunted history tours, which go out on Wednesday evenings and Saturday evenings. There's a lot of fun. Bring your friends. They leave from the Franklin Shops on Broadway and First Street in downtown Fort Myers, beautiful downtown Fort Myers, my home, where I grew up. And I hope maybe I'll see some no-nonsense listeners there at some point sooner or later.
Cool. Yeah, check that out. And there's a website that has
TrueTours.net. TrueTours.net. You can go on there. You can find out about our tours. You can find out about when they leave. All the information you need is on TrueTours.net. You can sign up, pay for them there. Cool. I hope we get some visitors.
Right on. Thanks for coming on the show again, Seth.
No worries.
Yeah, good to have you here. If you are listening and you want to play No Nonsense Trivia live this week, you have five opportunities to do so this week in Southwest Florida. It's our busiest week we've had so far. It's five that we're doing. First, Monday, May 6th at Three Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers at 7:30. The final category that night will be U.S. History, which was selected by the delivery guy Duffy, who Seth let pick the category. So thanks to Duffy for picking U.S. We were like, what should we ask about next week, Duffy? And he said, U.S. history.
Which I can't complain
with. Yeah. And there was much cheering, no jeering amongst the crowd. Wednesday, May 8th, will be at Bury Me Brewing Company at 7 p.m. The final category that night will be Peter Gazing. Peter Gazing is a category selected by Team 3i. And I said, what do you mean by that? And they're like, you know, at the urinal, Peter Gazing. And I take it as a personal challenge to be able to write a question about anything. That's so gonna we're gonna tackle. I don't know about that subject, but I'm definitely gonna let the name inspire me to. It will be within the rules and the domain of Peter Gazing.
Wow. Did this guy ask that or tell you about this in the restroom?
No.
Okay,
all right. That would have been weird.
You know, I think these some people that wander into trivia and then they end up. And I'll say this: you only get to pick the final category if you're really a vested team. So you have to be there for a while.
Right.
You come in last place, and you know that's their prerogative. Right. If they want to challenge me to that, like, I'm going to write a question. It's not going to be unanswerable either. Mm-hmm. You know, come check it out. We'll also be at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar on May 9th, Thursday. The final category that night will be The Curse of Oak Island.
Wow.
Which okay. I have not researched yet, but you can read about it and I can read about it and I'll ask you a question about it. And that comes courtesy of New Belgium Brewery, actually, who are out at Number 3 giving out extra bonus prizes this week. Thanks to Jessica at New Belgium Brewery for that. And then, I forgot to mention, on Wednesday after Bury Me Brewing, I'm actually going to be covering Mark's shift at Nice Guys Pizza Trivia.
I know.
So on Wednesday, you can double up. Come visit me at Bury Me. We'll do three rounds there. We'll go over to Nice Guys. We'll do three more rounds of trivia over there.
Double up on a little Brett Schreider like him.
Yeah, bubble your double.
Yeah.
You're also going to be able to check us out on Saturday, May 11th from 4 to 6 p.m. at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar for Disney Trivia.
Ooh.
Yep. We're going to be giving out some Number 3 gift cards. We're going to be giving out copies of Drinking at Disney, a tipsy travel guide to Walt Disney World's bars, lounges, and glow cubes, which offers recommendations on every single place that you can get a drink in Disney, actually written by one of our players, Rhiannon, recently featured on Delish.com, actually. Ooh. Like last week, they had a full write-up and review of the book. So we'll be giving out copies of that at the Disney Trivia. And also, I recently went to Disney, and I brought back some swag, so we'll be giving that out, too. So those are, you know, the five opportunities that you can play trivia after our Disney Trivia. By the way, Mark's band is going to be playing a show over at Nice Guys Pizza, which is right across the street.
Yeah, so right, is this Marky Mark and the Punky Bunch?
No, this is actually Exploding Pages.
Can't be missed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. go check them out. They're a delicious alt-country band to be combined with the delicious food and drinks at Nice Guys Pizza.
You know, I'd like to say something. Yeah. I met you at an Exploding Pages show almost 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah?
It was at the Planetarium.
It was at the Planetarium?
It was at the Planetarium. You made a fantastic poster for it.
Oh, yeah.
And they asked me to come in there and set up a PA and help them run it. And I did that, and you came knocking on the back door. I remember this. You came knocking on the back door. I had recognized you from other things. It wasn't my back door.
Okay,
It was the Planetarium back door.
Right. Please
and you came walking up. You knocked on the back door. I opened it, and I looked at you. It had like a plastic case full of, I don't know, artist stuff.
Yeah.
And I looked up at you and I said, I need to see an ID, sir. And you looked at me and you looked at me very seriously, like, is this guy?
That's hilarious.
And I said, I'm just kidding, come on in. And you just came right in.
I definitely knew who you were before that. So that must have been when we first met. But I'd seen you play.
Face,
and I'd seen you play in bands coming up too. So, but yeah, that's that was about 10 years ago.
Right.
So happy friendiversary, my friend. You can find out more information about our trivia events online at nononsensetrivia.com. All of our events are free to play. Join us.
Won't you?
We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with some trivia in round one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we all have a full slate of questions here, which means that we'll be asking 21 plus, maybe some extra questions if we feel so inclined. You never know where our conversation's going to lead us to. My first question for you guys has to do with Chewbacca. Actor Peter Mayhew, who played the beloved character Chewbacca in the Star Wars series, passed away this week at the age of 74. How old is Chewbacca in Episode 4, A New Hope?
Wow.
I got an idea.
Yeah.
I got an idea. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you just watched the last Solo movie, at one point in the movie, the character, the guy that's playing Han now, did actually say at one point, just for a second, he said, "Wow, you're 190? And he said that in the movie. Now, that's obviously quite a few years before. This is taking place quite a few years before A New Hope.
Yes.
You just have to figure out, do they actually say in A New Hope how old he is? I can't remember.
They don't. This is a bit of background information. You know, in the whole timeline, over the years, the whole timeline of the character Chewbacca has been laid out in Star Wars time. So they don't, I don't think they say it in the movie. But, I mean, you're clearly barking up the right tree. You know, you're remembering a line from the movies. So this is sussable for you, I would say.
That's technically, Solo is furthest back they go, technically.
Yeah, it is.
So it would be how old was Han there compared to...
You got to think,
and so the sussing begins.
Yeah, you got to think that he was still essentially a child, younger than 18, when he was at Lady Proxima's place in the mm-hmm. movie, which is completely ridiculous. It's not the best movie, he was in his teen, and then after that, he left Corellia and he went and spent 3 years fighting for the Empire. Right?
Whoa.
Okay, so we got 3 years right there, and then after that. He left the 3 year, so that's going to put him at around 22, 23 years old, but that doesn't matter because it's around 23, 24 that he says, or 22, 23 that he says, oh, you're 190. Well, then you have to figure by the time A New Hope gets around, I'm guessing that by that time he might be in his 30s. I'm going to guess. So if you're going to add another 8 years, 8, 9 years. So we would say that he's 198, 199.
I was thinking that he looked very young still. I don't know how old he was supposed to be in A New Hope.
Right.
He was still a young actor.
Right.
I was thinking an even 200 would be like the smoothest.
Right.
The smoothest idea. 10 years. Years later.
So what should we say? Maybe 199.
What the difference?
Yeah.
99.
Okay. So that's it?
Yeah.
We'll go with that.
To listen to Dallas, Seth. 200. Oh, he needed 200. Oh. He is a bicentenarian. Like bicentennial man, I guess.
That probably would be 200.
So close, though. So incredibly
really
close.
Hard.
Can you imagine making it to 200 and then you're immediately conscripted into fighting in this like freedom fight intergalactic Jesus. War?
That's
rough life.
I know. Your buddy has taken like a religious zealot across the galaxy to fight a fascist dictator.
You gotta be at 200. You need to be at 200. You need to be in a hammock in Kashyyyk.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Not worrying about anything.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, what did you work so hard for your whole life? You know,
how old do they live till? Like, what's like the general life expectancy?
I'm not sure,
but you know, of a Wookiee. But you know, Chewie does. He still looks pretty young in
The
New Hope.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, you got to think that in Revenge of the Sith. He's fighting with his dad in that movie, remember?
Right.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. I mean, and they gotta be able to get pretty old, I'm assuming.
What a shitty life Chewbacca has. You know? I mean, when you just look at it all, and the funny thing is in like a 1997 review of Empire Strikes Back, film critic Roger Ebert just kind of tears into the character.
Oh.
He's like, this guy was like a backdrop in the first movie. And he's just totally flat in all the other movies. Now we have to just like deal with him being on screen. And it's like they were like, damn, we really need to flesh Chewbacca out. And they just gave him like a whole sad life story. Conflict everywhere. And I just get sad when I see Chewbacca now, you know?
Well, I think he's the only actual Star Wars character that actually won a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Indeed.
You know, in which Carrie Fisher proclaimed that she wishes she would have had a love scene with him.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Don't we all?
You know,
I'd watch.
I mean, don't we all wish we had a love scene with Chewbacca? Of course, you know, Carrie Fisher,
whatever,
of course. But you know, rest in peace, Peter Mayhew. That's my question.
We know Dallas would watch.
All right, so who wants to go next?
Mr. Hands.
Who's got the ambition here?
I'll go second. Okay. Next.
Al's going off the top of his head here.
I know you are not that. You just mentioned earlier that you're just starting to get into or recently into the whole Marvel movie ideas. This is a remaindered question
right.
from my trivia that I actually did not use.
Okay.
It's not nothing too crazy.
Yeah.
I don't believe. But in the first Iron Man movie, what was the name of the missile that Tony Stark demonstrated at the beginning of the movie?
I saw it.
And it was the same missile that the people in the cave in Afghanistan asked him to make.
Right, right. And then it'd say, like, Stark Industries on the side of it or something.
Yeah, indeed.
I don't remember. I don't remember. Do you?
No.
No.
I don't remember specifically. I mean, this is wrong. I feel like this is wrong. But, like, there's, like, a whisper in the back of my head that's saying Hulkbuster. But that's the armor that he makes later.
Yeah.
It's not, like, the Hulkbuster missile does not seem like it would be the right answer.
You got me on this one, man. I know I'm not going to be able to come pull anything up on this one.
Is it a real life missile or is it an invention for the Marvel universe?
I believe
universe?
It's just an invention for it.
Okay, all right. That's what I thought. Okay, so it's not like Tomahawk or anything like that.
It could be. I'm not. Oh, okay. I don't know all the missiles, but gotcha. I've never heard of this missile.
Okay. Yeah.
Magic missile.
It's been so long since I've seen. Actually, it's been about a year now since I've seen Iron Man 1. I did like a rewatch before Infinity War came out a year ago. But I don't remember the name of this missile.
Let me see if I can help you out.
Ionic.
It's a
reactor.
The name
missile.
Is also the name of a wrestler.
The Hulkbuster. the name of a wrestler.
Yes.
Oh man.
Stinger.
It could be a Sting missile.
Sting missile.
Yeah. WCW. He was in the WWF though. Sting.
Yeah, he was.
Wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was in both.
He's in both.
I just remember, like, my era of Sting was the Crow era. You know,
yes.
he had like the Billy Idol.
That was around the NWO. That was around the NWO era when he was like descending from the rafters,
right.
Constantly.
Yeah,
I got big and like.
Oh, sorry.
Dudley Brothers.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, I almost asked a Dudley Brothers question.
Really?
I was trying to write name every Dudley boy, but there's like nine.
Yeah, it gets crazy.
Yeah. Do you remember? So, what are the main three? We'll do a sidetrack here.
I can't remember any of them. It's been so long.
Really?
Yeah.
Think about for a sec. I bet you could pull them. The Dudley boys.
Yeah, the glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Tie dye. Yep. Their finishing move was the
Dudley 3D.
The 3D. Yep. The 3D. Okay. You don't remember their names?
No, I can't remember their names though.
Oh man,
it's been a little bit.
Two of them, I think, are still wrestling. That would be Brother Devon and Bubba Ray.
Oh.
And then there was Little Spike, was like the nerdy one.
Little tiny.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyways, you want to go with Sting missile?
I'm gonna go with Sting.
Yeah. Yep, Sting missile.
It was the Jericho. The Jericho missile.
Oh, Jericho.
Chris Jericho.
Right, yeah.
He went under the famous band Fozzy.
Right.
Or the not really famous band Fozzy. Yeah.
Famous because of him.
Because of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Only noteworthy reason that you would know Fozzy.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Seth, you got a
I do.
Question?
It's pretty simple. What's the largest land bird in North America?
Largest land burn?
Bird.
Bird.
Largest?
Land bird.
Is this by like wingspan or just like total weight?
The largest. If you were to, when I was reading and doing research for this question, there are some that weigh more, but when you factor in all of the aspects of a bird, we're going to go with height, weight, mass, wingspan, everything together. What would total out to the largest bird, land bird? And by land bird, what people ask him what that means. It means a bird that spends its time in the air over. Land.
Okay.
You know, not like a seagull or an albatross or anything like that. A land bird.
Yeah, I see. So not necessarily something that spends most of its time on the ground.
No.
Right.
No,
just
not
overland.
Like a kiwi that walks around. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Largest land.
Eagles are pretty big.
They are. I was thinking
pretty
that.
Pretty darn big.
But a condor?
Ooh. Are they bigger than eagles?
I think so. I think they are.
Condors, yeah.
Mm. But I'm not totally sure. If I was playing solo, that's what came to me first. And eagles are very large, but I don't know if I've ever seen like a list or anything of bird sizes where the eagle was the largest. And this is just setting myself up for a classic. I'm bullshitting out of my ass right now. And the answer is eagle, but I'm feeling condor.
You're feeling condor?
But you were right. You were right about Chewbacca.
He did all the work. I just tried to simple extrapolation.
Yeah.
They're going to try and keep it an even number. That's what I was thinking.
You know how to think like George Lucas. No, we need an even number. It's the same as the Ray Romano.
That's right. Yeah. You guys have been.
Has anybody seen them in the same place?
No, they're not in the same place ever. Yeah. Ever.
No, go with Condor. Condor.
Condor. Mm-hmm. Condor. Condor.
Can you be more specific?
The North American condor.
Yeah. Sounds legit to me.
It's the California condor.
So
you are right. Yeah. Right. California condor.
So would you have, if you were the quizmaster, would you have taken my answer?
I would do like you do, and I would give half points.
Okay.
All right. If for not coming with a full answer.
Okay.
So because there is an Andean condor in North and South America, but... Yeah. You know, it's the condor. That's the only condor in North America, and it is the largest land bird. In fact,
I would probably grade that on a curve. If only one team wrote condor and nobody else wrote it down,
right.
I'd probably give them full points. But if two teams wrote down condor and one wrote down California condor, then the specificity really probably makes a difference there.
Yeah,
and they'll get the extra there. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Here's my second question for you guys. Has to deal with 80s and 90s fashion.
Ooh.
Popular in the 80s and 90s, what kind of shoes are made of brightly colored PVC plastic and premiered at the 1982 World's Fair and became popular after New York City department store Bloomingdale's ordered thousands in 1983?
Man.
Plastic shoes.
Plastic shoes.
Of the 80s and 90s. What were they called? They're a huge hit.
I was born in 83.
This is your time, man.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. I don't wear... I was in a... And so I don't know if I ever owned a plastic shoe.
Oh, you didn't have to be rich to own these shoes.
They poured them into a mold.
That's right. I can see that being the case.
You remember what they were called, though?
I do.
Oh, okay. You remember?
I do.
Oh, all right.
What we got in here? 1985, I'm standing at a bus stop on Jeffcott and Grand, right there in South Central Fort Myers, in the neighborhood I grew up in, and. This kid lit a bottle rocket and it flew across the street and it hit a girl in the foot who was wearing a pair of these shoes and it melted the plastic onto her foot.
Wow.
And she ran home and had to get foot, you know, they bandaged up her foot.
Amputated?
No, they didn't. Didn't go that far. And I didn't make the papers, but I do remember that. And that reminded me of why I know the name that these are called jellies.
That's right. They're called jellies.
Jellies.
Yeah. Wow. What a fascinating story and a good personal touchstone to that trivia.
Hope her foot's okay.
I'm
east to her in these troubled times.
She was from Central Fort Myers. Yeah. This girl made it through with flying colors.
Yeah. She probably,
if not the rest of her life, you know, I don't think so. But
she probably got like butterfly wings tattooed around the scar.
Yeah.
That's my little jelly butterfly.
A dolphin, something like that. Yeah, exactly.
All right, Dallas, what do we got for your second question?
Second question. Let's see here. What band had an album called Significant Other? The year 1999.
Oh.
That's a good question.
Oh. Dallas. I was singing a song off of this album last night at my trivia with one of my teams, the Moist Men, actually.
Right.
I said to them.
I can see Max.
Yeah. I said to them, guys, can we at least admit, you know, Limp Bizkit is not a popular band, but Rearranged is a good song.
There's some good
Rearranged
stuff.
I think is I don't know. It's just I don't think there's any rapping in it.
As unattractive as Fred Durst is, you have to admit that those guitar parts Wes Borland did were, I mean, entertaining.
Yeah.
But dude,
nothing says 1999
like a red baseball cap turned backward and that guy's awful mug showing up on MTV or something. It just set it all over. You couldn't find a way to like them.
A band full of Florida men.
Yeah.
If there ever was one.
Don't remind me.
Yeah, they're from Jacksonville.
That's right. Jacksonville.
You don't claim
Jacksonville.
Them.
Yeah.
Let's not claim them.
No, let's not.
But yeah, I
let's
did,
like give
I,
them to Georgia. The Georgia I, delegation takes. Takes.
I was fully entrenched in nu metal in 1989. I definitely bought that album at Rainbow Records in Cape Coral, and it had an ECD, and you could put it in your computer, and there was a video where the opening track played, and there was like the artist doing the spray paint of the wow. album cover. And I was like, this is awesome. Like, technology, yes. Whoa, Limp Bizkit, yeah. Wow. Give me some Surge. I want to drink some Surge. Yeah. All right.
That was 20 years ago, yeah, 1999. Yeah, and I've been trying to forget that ever since, Dallas. Mm-hmm.
I want to bring it back.
You did.
All right, Seth, all right. You got a
I got one. Let me just 1 second here. I do. Mm. This one's a little harder. You might have to have been around it in order to come up with it, but we're going to go ahead with it anyway.
I hope it's another new metal question.
No, it's not. Unfortunately, mine do not really revolve around that. Okay. The O'Shaughnessy Dam in the Hetch Hetchy Valley provide water and hydroelectric power to what city?
O'Shaughnessy sounds Irish as fuck to me.
It does.
So I'm going to go with something in Ireland.
O'Shaughnessy.
Yeah.
Oh, what was the name of the valley?
Hetch Hetchy. Does that sound
Irish? Or is O'Shaughnessy, is it Scottish?
Doesn't sound like it's in the Americas.
Yeah. I'm going to either Irish or Scottish for sure. I'm like almost 100% on at least those two.
Hetch Hetchy.
That brings no bells to me.
No.
Hetch Hetchy?
Is it as O'Shaughnessy? I would say Scott.
Yeah. All right. So I know jack shit about Scotland.
Yeah, me neither.
One city in Scotland. Could I name it right now? Can I?
I can't.
And
Scott. Scotland City.
I'm going to have to default to Ireland. Yeah, it's right. Because I can think of a city from it. Sorry, Seth. One more time, if you don't mind the question.
No, I don't mind at all. Actually, I like saying the word O'Shaughnessy.
Yeah.
O'Shaughnessy.
The O'Shaughnessy Dam, the O'Shag Hennessy Dam in the Hetch Hetchy Valley provide water and hydroelectric power to what city?
Is it O'Shaughnessy? Would it be
O'Shaughnessy City?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a trick question.
No.
I don't know. I'm going to go with let's say Dublin. Let's make it easy on ourselves.
As far as I can go.
Raising our white flag that says Dublin on it.
It's not in America, is it?
You want me to say?
Something tells me something's going to be tricky about this.
I mean,
it could be somewhere in like Texas or like, yeah.
New York?
I was thinking like Nevada or something like that, maybe. But no.
Now I'm all fucked up.
Yeah, I know. Like with Dublin.
You sure?
I'm not going to figure anything out on this one. That's crazy.
All right, Seth. Wait on this, man.
The Hetch Hetchy Valley is just north of the Yosemite Valley.
What?
Yes.
So is it?
And the the O'Shag Hennessy Dam. Take yourself down to the O'Shag Hennessy Dam. Provides water and hydroelectric power to San Francisco.
Oh.
Yeah, so heading towards Nevada was a good idea. Yeah.
Dallas has, definitely. Like, The Shining or something. You can see things, you got the shinning. Got the shinning, boy.
Shinning.
You don't want to get sued. Casual Simpsons reference. All right. My last question for you guys is has to do with the 80s movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off. In In Ferris Bueller's Day Off, the title character steals whose identity to secure a reservation at the fancy restaurant Chesquis?
I know he dresses like his girlfriend's father.
This is he assumes this identity when talking to the maitre d'.
Oh, okay. In the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember who it was. Are you biting that
Seth
bit
is
over
cracking
there?
Knuckles. Yeah, he is.
I'm just giving him his opportunity.
No. Oh, you know it?
Oh,
come on.
All right, okay. Seth is he's all in on this.
It's 1986,
one.
Man.
Oh.
I was propped up in front of the television that whole year.
I was young boy, I'm trying to remember here.
I guess the hint that I'll give you is that this individual is the sausage king of Chicago. Yeah, so he says, I'm blank.
Dashing good looks.
Seth, who does he say he is?
He says, Abe Froman. Abe the Froman. Sausage King of Chicago.
Yes, Abe Froman. Froman. Mm-hmm. Yep, and Abe Froman is not a real person, but there is a Sausage King of Chicago named Jim Bodman, which has like the exact same syllabic phrasing, you know? So I don't know if they're basing it off of him. Jim Bodman, he is the CEO of Vienna Beef, which is headquartered in Chicago. And he's, I guess, somewhat famously said, we'll always be in Chicago. It wouldn't make sense if we moved to Wisconsin, damn it!
It wouldn't.
You know? And then he, like, goes away in his
Chicago,
kayak.
Very famous for their Italian beef sandwiches with these sport peppers and... I enjoyed them when I lived there.
Don't get me hungry, man. Don't get me hungry. Yep. Okay. So, Dallas, you got a third one?
In the movie, The Wizard of Oz, classic.
We all know it.
Dorothy and her friends fall asleep in a field of what type of flower?
You know this?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go high on the symbolism here, and my guess would be poppy field.
Just like Flanders Fields after World War One,
yeah,
poppies. Is it?
There were poppies.
Is that right?
Yes.
That is all right. Nice. I like it.
Poppies will make them sleep.
Reading The Good Earth in high school. You remember The Good Earth?
Yes, I do.
They were talking about poppy fields and opium, and my teacher said something like, "Yeah, don't eat a poppy seed muffin. You'll never get a job because they'll think you're a heroin addict." Yeah. And I just remember being like, a freshman in high school, being like, "Oh my gosh, poppies! What? Oh, I can't eat a poppy muffin."
I'm gonna fail a drug test.
Wasn't that a Seinfeld episode? I think that was a Seinfeld episode where like Elaine, got a job and then they had a drug tester and she ate too many poppies and a poppy seed muffin.
Yeah.
And they were like, and what was her boss's name?
Vanderlei.
I too was once addicted to the drug.
Peterman.
Yeah, Peterman. Yep. Jay Peterman.
Jay
yeah.
Peterman.
Yeah. I too was once an addict. He came to her. She's like, no, it's from the muffins.
All right, Seth, you got a third for us?
I do. I kind of feel like the last time I was here, I was really concerned that I was asking questions that were a little bit too hard, and that last one was kind of a dead giveaway. But this one, it might be too. The second most difficult... sorry, man.
What do we got?
Aunt Becky recently told us that the second most difficult school for admissions, meaning the second most difficult school to get into in the United States of America, is in fact Stanford University. In Palo Alto, California. What is their official mascot?
The Commodore. That's Vanderbilt. Thanks to you telling me right before we started recording. You're refreshing my memory.
That's right about the... we'll get into that a little bit later.
Stanford's mascot?
If I know.
Yeah. You're killing me, Smalls.
Stanford, it's California. Let's reason this out a little bit. What do they got in California? They don't have Wolverines. They got them in Michigan.
It's a California state bird. Or animal.
Bear.
Bear.
Right? They got one on their flag.
They got one on their flag. Mm-hmm. I don't think Stanford would.
The Stanford Bears.
Yeah, the Bears.
The Bears. The Stanford Bears. That's how it goes, right? Isn't that the old SNL sketch? Stanford Bears.
The grapes.
The wine grapes. Yeah. The Stanford wine grapes.
Like the Fiddle Loom guy.
Exactly. The Catalina wine mixer.
It's possible.
Yeah.
That maybe it's going to be one of my questions, Catalina Island, but go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry. I don't know, man. Bears is that would be my educated guess, based on the flag. I don't know what else to go on. I'm not.
The other animal?
They've got... they've got bears. I actually saw a bear the last time I was in California.
Really?
Yeah. I was at the John Muir State Park, and there was like a little family of bears walking across the way. And then this park ranger was like, don't move. Just stay right where you are.
There's bears.
All right, let's just stay here. And then 5 minutes later, they're like, all right, you can go now. They just like wandered across. So I don't know. That's all I got. That's my guess.
That's your guess?
Yeah.
Wait a second. All right. You were in the park. Did you see any other animals while you were there? I'm just trying to see if there was
something. The bear sticks out. Yeah. Honestly, there was like a whole section on the bears in the museum and stuff like that. I'm sure there were owls and stuff, but Stand for Owls.
Wisdom. That sounds a little cheesy.
Yeah.
The Bears.
UCLA is called the Bruins, which are Bears.
Oh.
So you got that one. You got to think about it. What's up there in Palo Alto, up there in Northern California? They have
tech nerds.
They have
tech bros.
Well, that's true. It should be. Yes. Silicon. The Silicons of Stanford. Right. No, actually, the answer is they have no official mascot.
But if I was like you,
and I'm sympathetic to your style of quizzing, and that is if anybody had said the Redwood Tree, because the band has a guy that dresses up as a redwood tree that runs out on the field with them.
Okay.
And their motto is fear the tree. I mean, their saying at football games is fear the tree. And the seal of the school has a redwood. I know it is weird, but that's what it is. And the seal of the school has a redwood tree on it, and the side of the helmet has a redwood tree on it. So I would give credit to anybody that said, let's put it this way, I would make it a 4-point question to anybody that said the redwood tree. But if anybody knew that they don't officially have a mascot, I'd give them 7 points for that, you know, because that's really difficult.
That's pretty darn good.
Yeah, so. I like that, though. It's kind of cool. I would kind of wish they leaned into that redwood tree thing, or they were, you know, like...
And adopted
a wall of fire, you know, because, like, there's so many forest fires out there, and it's actually... Some of the fires are good for the redwoods,
I did not know that.
It's when they're controlled, you know, not these out-of-control global warming fires that have been popping up, but, like, these controlled burns are the ones that happen every, you know, naturally every couple hundred years.
Just like here, kind of.
You can kind of walk around these redwoods and you'll see like where the fires kind of dug into the trunks, but there's like new growth coming up over them and stuff, and they explain when you take the little tour at the John Muir place.
You know, it's so funny that you mentioned John Muir, because John Muir was one of the big proponents at the turn of the century to keep the state of California from flooding the Hetch Hetchy Valley.
I should have gone down that path. Yeah. You know, I should have leaned into the tree, basically. All right, so that's round one. We're going to take another little quick break, and then we'll be back with some more questions round two and also some miscorrections. We're back, and it's time for some missed corrections.
Miscorrections.
All right. It's actually just one miscorrection, and it's a self-miscorrection. I was shaking my head as I was editing the last episode when I was talking about the wrestling tag team, the Legion of Doom, and I said their names were Buzz and Mohawk. That's got to be from something else, because the Legion of Doom were Hawk and Animal. Hawk and Animal are their names. So just wanted to clarify that, you know, we're not trying to spread any kind of WWE misinformation or anything or any type of misinformation.
Weren't they WWF?
At the time, yeah, it was WWF. But now the WWF is the World Wildlife Foundation.
Yeah.
Well. They won that lawsuit. And then originally, though, they were the WWWF. I remember your cohort on your episode of We Do Stuff podcast.
Joe's crazy about it. He knows his stuff.
Yeah. One of the recent episodes, you guys talk about your favorite biopics, and he kind of pitches the idea of like a Vince McMahon biopic. And I was super into that idea when I was listening to it.
I like it a lot. I like it a lot.
Yeah. So definitely go listen to that. Dallas's podcast, We Do Stuff. And you got two hosts on that, right?
Yes. Yeah, me, Sam, Joe, and Samantha.
Samantha, yeah.
Yeah, she's a piece of shit.
Ouchies. Well, no. Go listen to it. It's good. So if you have any miscorrections or rate my question you want to write in here, just drop us an email, nononsensetrivia@gmail.com, and we'll read that on the air. Okay.
Just a quick side note. Maybe it was about a month or two ago, I was playing, I went to Mark's Nice Guys, and Fletcher and Kristen weren't there, and Aaron wasn't there either, and it was just me and Jamie, and we kind of teamed up and decided to have a go that night, and I think it was you and another fella that wound up eking it out over us. You beat us. We came in second place.
Yes, I was with my friend Sean.
Is he one of the ones from your...
He's just one of our good friends. I see him about once a week. We have like chat groups and stuff. He's a smart cookie. He did like 75% of the work, I'm not going to lie.
It takes a team.
Yeah. Me and Jamie were so confident that night, we got taken out.
I think we might have been there too.
That was,
me and Kyle, I think we were there.
We actually were.
Yep. I came in late a little bit.
It was the countries that start with... Mm-hmm. Letter J.
J.
Yes, yep, that was last one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next time we'll all team up. That's six people that we had that were in the room and we were not teaming.
Right.
I know Seth's looking at me like, team up with me? What?
No. I don't mind. When I go to Nice Guys, I like teaming up with those guys because. Right. Jamie, Fletcher, Chris, and Aaron are good company.
The Wet Boys.
They're good company, and I like hanging out with them there. Good.
Hard to beat.
Limited space, too, in that place, so, it doesn't hurt. And I get to share pizza with them from our win back in October.
Oh, yeah, you're still earning that free pizza.
Oh, I'm neck deep in that trivia pizza, man.
That's a beautiful
lucky
thing.
Son of
it
a
is.
Man. Yep. All right, Dallas, you want to kick us off with this some trivia in this round?
Yes, this one's from the 90s music.
Mm-hmm.
What band whose name is two words... Both words start with the same letter. Was on the cover of Rolling Stones in 1994 as the biggest new band of the year.
1994. Two names that start with the same letter. Two words.
Letters. Yeah.
Two words that start with the same letter.
I'm pretty positive I know it.
What do you got?
Well, I want to give you a chance to try and suss it out.
Yeah, all right. 94. Mm-hmm. Biggest new band.
Mm-hmm. Alliterative name.
Yeah. It's too early for Attack Attack, the band known for creating the post-hardcore movement, Crabcore. That's what the
Attack, post-post-post?
Yeah, that's what the young people are listening to, or they did listen to 10 years. Yeah. let's see here. I'm just going through the alphabet now. B, Oingo Boingo. Too late for them.
Oingo Boingo.
Oingo Boingo.
Oingo Boingo. Boingo Boingo.
Baba Booey. This is just taking forever, man. I don't know. Why don't you just tell me what you got?
I'm about 90% sure that it was Counting Crows.
Oh, 94?
94% is pretty high.
But is it Counting Crows? That's my guess.
Well, hold on. I don't know about that.
All right, all right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why did I say 94? Where did I pull that out from? I have no idea. All right, so it's not Counting Crows. We know that now.
Biggest new band. So 94, Kurt Cobain is at the end.
But it's Nirvana, and that's not.
I'm just trying to place the time period in my mind. Who is rising? Silverchair is rising. Bush is rising. Neither of these bands.
No,
Counting Crows probably starting, but are they rising?
I think they were. I'm kind of certain. The big bands in 94, I know this because I was working at Peaches Records in Fort Myers, and they just relentlessly played two things that I just...
Wait.
What?
Nirvana's ending.
Nirvana's ending.
Foo Fighters are starting.
They were just very, very beginning. I mean, actually, they weren't really starting. He was recording as Foo Fighters, but 94 is when Cobain died. So
right.
You didn't, nobody really heard except
Did you give
people.
A month?
No, I didn't, just the year 1994.
And the big bands in 94 were Hootie and the Blowfish, Crack Rear View came out, which is just appallingly bad.
Wallflowers?
Jagged
no, that was
little.
Later.
Wallflowers were just a little bit later. I think they were like 95, 96.
Yep.
And then and Jagged Little Pill came out that year. Alanis Morissette, of course, she's not
Jagged
a group.
Little Pill.
Yeah.
I'm kind of thinking maybe it was Counting Crows. I'm thinking. But Dallas's face kind of gave us a.
I try and poker it up no matter what.
Okay. Then I'm doubling down.
He will
on
sometimes
Counting Crows.
He'll give a face to throw you off. He'll like be like, yes.
And well, then you did it. you pulled it. Yeah.
All right, man. I mean, if you're really feeling confident, but I'm
kind of am.
I just feel like I know that it just happened, but I feel like I saw something where Dave Grohl immediately went and started working on Foo Fighters to try and get over the death of Kurt Cobain very quickly, and he recorded a tape that had all his own stuff on it, and he was also invited to become the full-time drummer for Tom Petty actually.
Yeah, for a little
while. He played with him on Saturday Night Live, mm-hmm. and he was invited to go on tour, and he said, you know what? I want to do this Foo Fighters thing.
Maybe it is Foo Fighters.
And that's the only reason, because it I remember it was very quick. Now, Counting Crows, you know, I have nothing against the Counting Crows. Let me just say that. I have nothing against the Counting Crows. But the next big thing, were they on the cover of Rolling Stone? I'm trying to, like, I feel like there's been scores and scores of covers with the Foo Fighters. Counting Crows, were they on the cover? They probably were.
They were.
They probably were. I'm torn. What do you think?
I think I remember that year because we had a magazine rack there too.
Yeah.
Seeing Counting Crows on the cover of Rolling Stone.
Counting Crows.
Was the Counting Crows.
Sorry, I doubted you, Seth. I'm so sorry. No.
That's okay.
I'm so sorry.
No, you gotta try to think it out. That's really good.
You threw me. You totally threw me. You're about to send me into a dark,
I was just saying, hey, let the man think. Yeah. I'm not, no rush into anything.
I'm glad you didn't give in.
Yeah, that's
right. I almost did.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to insult Lee here.
I didn't want you to give in.
I was just thinking to myself, how strongly do you believe this?
Kind of.
And then I was like, I don't really believe this. I mean, these are all facts, but you're right. 94, that would be a very quick turnaround, but mm-hmm. it was soon after. What is the name of there's a Foo Fighters documentary.
Mm-hmm. He was actually recording a lot of those songs before, during the Nirvana days, from what I understood. And he had made tapes and was handing them around, you know, mm-hmm. and people were recognizing it. But you got, like I said, it was April of 1994 that Cobain passed away. And I don't really think anybody was thinking about, you know, new music coming out of the remaining members of Nirvana at that point. I think it was a couple years later. I don't think it was 95 or 96 when that first Foo Fighters came out. Yeah.
I was thinking, I was hoping it to be like maybe the Backstreet Boys or something here on the cover of Rolling Stones.
The next biggest rock band.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Foo Fighters documentary is called Back and Forth, if you haven't seen that. They play Wembley Stadium, and it kind of chronicles like the whole history of the band and stuff. Pat Smear joining and leaving and everybody else filling in and stuff like that. Yeah, it's good. It's good. All right, Seth, you got a question to kick off round two for you?
I like this question a lot. Go ahead.
No, you're going to kill us with this question.
Oh, man. Yeah, I kind of am.
All right, that's fine.
What president announced the discovery of gold in California to Congress on December 5th, 1848, leading to the Great Gold Rush of 1849?
This is right in that period where I know jack shit about who's president.
Yeah.
In that middle zone.
I know.
It's like past Jackson. But
the very beginning, the last five or six,
mm-hmm.
anywhere in between there.
This is the where you got Coolidge, Polk, Garfield, all these presidents that are indistinguishable because for the average person, there's just no modern, you know, connection. There's no great Marvel movie about them.
No, should be.
But I don't know. Those are three that I feel like fit within that year.
The gold rush.
Mm-hmm. James K. Polk, Chester A. Arthur, James Garfield, Calvin Coolidge. Those sound about right. Any of those?
I'm thinking.
Or are you thinking?
Polk sounds like it would be to Polk's before, I believe.
I think. Probably.
I'm half spitballing here. I'm thinking Coolidge.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I did not go over my president's rap like I promised I would last episode. You know, I'd sing the state song, but yeah.
Could have been ready for it.
I need to learn that terrible president's rap. Well, let's go with Coolidge. How are we doing?
Coolidge was just after Woodrow Wilson, who's known for being a rather cool guy, and that was in the 1920s. Really, he didn't respond to things. He never responded to anything. James Garfield would have been in 1880. He went up against a guy named Winfield Scott Hancock, and that was in 1880. And if you add an A to the end of one president's last name, it comes up to a really great dance, and you should have said that because it was James
Polk.
Yes.
Yes. In 1848, mm-hmm. December 5th.
Mm. Yep.
Immediately followed by Zachary Taylor, who was killed by a bowl of cherries.
Really?
He ate a bunch of fruit and drank a bunch of water at an event, and it made him sick, and he got pneumonia and died.
Oh, that sucks.
Are you sure those Zachary Taylor?
Oh, Zachary Taylor.
So we've had two presidents that have died of pneumonia.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's, let me think.
That sucks.
William Henry Harrison.
William Henry Harrison, that's right, yeah.
His was like a weather-induced pneumonia, though, not cherry-induced. Man, it used to be so easy for a president to just get taken out back in the day.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Bowl of cherries.
Oh, yeah.
Some rain.
Right. Well, an ambulance back then was like two, you know, low-level interns or something in a barn door, and you'd throw them on the back of it and drag them to where the doctor lived, you know. Oh, so that was...
We were so spoiled growing up in these days, no. those times and days.
The age of
comparatively, yeah. comparatively. All right, I've got a Lord of the Rings question for you guys.
Oh.
In the Lord of the Rings lore, in other words, the lore of the Lord of the Rings, only three of the five Istari, those would be beings sent to Middle-earth to help contest the evil of Sauron, are named Saruman, Gandalf, and a third who is named what? Who's the third named Istari, a group of beings sent to Middle Earth to help contest the evils of Sauron? Seth is giving a satisfied expression of knowledge on his face right now.
Yeah,
He looks to Dallas. Dallas is shaking his head. No.
Don't ask me anything that detailed about the Lord of the Rings.
I do believe this character shows up in the movies, right?
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name, the main guy, the long white-haired guy Gandalf fights against. I can't remember his name.
Thinking of Saruman.
Yeah, that's Saruman. So okay. he's one that's named, but and then Gandalf, and then there's a third that's named. And there's two others that are never named. They're like known as the Blue Wizards.
They were twins, yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. I actually didn't give him proper names, but yes.
Okay. Yeah, so Seth...
Is it the lady?
No.
Oh. I got nothing.
Okay, I ate these books up in 1984.
I knew this one would be too easy for
yeah, me, this. I mean, of course it was in the movie, and they did really a great job of playing this character, of presenting this character in the movie, even though he doesn't really stick very closely to the books. Radagast.
That's right, Radagast. Mm. Radagast. He's like that mushroomy wizard, right?
Yeah, they eat too many mushrooms.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, got nothing. Radagast.
His mind is addled with mushrooms.
Yeah. That's cool. I mean, even I didn't really pick up. You know, I think I browsed through the books as a kid. I didn't read them all the way through, and then in the movies, I didn't really understand. But somebody who was a fan of mine, that was a friend, was explaining like, yeah, actually, Gandalf's like a demigod. He's not like a powerful man. You know, he's like this intermediate being.
Yeah, wizards aren't just guys that walk around that can cast spells, and according that, to, yeah.
Watching the movies with that context, like, makes his character so much cooler, in a sense. And it explains a lot of his, like, behavior, where you're like, why is he just letting some of this stuff happen, or seemingly let some of this stuff happen?
And how can he get to places, like, from the Shire all the way to, Gondor in 3 days, you know, which would that would be like covering, you know, from here to the Midwest, you know?
Right.
How can he do things
like
that?
You gotta take a condor of Gondor, is how you do it.
He rode Mysterion.
He did.
All right, Dallas, how about a second question for this round?
What actor appears in these movies? One of those. I'm gonna give you about four movies. Right. Tell me what actor appeared in them.
Yeah.
2007's Norbit, 2009's The Gamer, 2010's Expendables, 2011's Bridesmaids.
Is Norbit that Eddie Murphy movie?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right, I've seen Bridesmaids once. Gamer, the only person I can remember in that is the actor who plays Leonidas in 300.
Gerard Butler.
Yes.
Gerard Butler, yeah.
And... Is he in Bridesmaids? Is he in Norbit?
Gerard Butler?
Yeah.
I don't think he's in Norbit, no.
That would be an early, early movie for him.
No.
I mean, he's Norbit's adopted little brother. I've never seen that movie. I don't know.
No, Norbit was Eddie Murphy, so right. I don't think, yeah.
Is that one of those ones where he plays like five characters in the
yes.
movie?
Yes, yeah, he played like two or three at least, yeah. Yeah, that had to...
They need to make a movie with Eddie Murphy, Martin Lawrence, and Tyler Perry. And they play 300 characters.
Oh.
three actors playing 100 characters apiece.
No. It'd probably make a lot of money.
I'd see it. I'd see that quicker than I would see any of their individual movies where they dress up as five people, you know?
Yes, the apex of them.
Yeah. What are you thinking, Seth? Gerard Butler.
Well, no, it's not Gerard Butler. And it's not, well, let's think about who was in Bridesmaids that could have been gone back that far. John Hamm was in Bridesmaids for just a moment. But I don't think John Hamm was in Norbit, and I don't think he was in The Gamer. then you had
very different movies. If he was,
he was only in the movie for a minute. And then he got Chris O'Dowd, which of course he would not have been in Norbit, and he wouldn't have been in The Gamer either. But the only one that I'm thinking from Bridesmaids that could have gone back to that far was, I don't know her name, but she was on that show Reno 911, and she was the blonde haired kind of sexy officer. And what was her name?
Isn't she in High School Musical or something, or Glee? Is she on Glee?
No, the Glee is that's not her. Glee was different. That was what's her name? Was that Jane Lynch on Glee?
That's not the same person.
No, it's not the same person. No, I can't remember her name. And I'm taking this off into.
So we want to go with Jane Lynch? Is what you're telling me?
I'm not going with Jane Lynch. I'm
going to Gerard Butler. Then.
Let me try to help you a little bit. It is a he.
It's a he.
It's a he. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
Gerard Butler.
He has, to kind of go with the Reno thing. He has played a police officer on television.
Michael Chiklis.
No.
What if it's that guy that Richard Belzer? He's recently come up on the podcast. Maybe Dallas is trying to Belzer it up here.
No, I don't.
A famous flub when we were talking about the first cable Emmy Award winning show. And we were just naming network show after network show.
He got me on this.
There would be Sopranos to that. Dude, Gerard Butler.
Gerard Butler, I guess. Because
I don't think he's in Bridesmaids.
No. Who is it? Go ahead.
I'm just trying to see, because Expendables also, I'm trying to see Gerard Butler, and Expendables totally not.
Okay, hold on. Well, yeah. I forgot about Expendables.
Expendables is another one there.
Yeah.
I never saw Expendables. So I don't
it's
know.
Got so many, I mean, that's...
A lot of that, different...
It's like 20 different actors in it. You got Isn't Stallone. That the one
with like Ivan Drago in it?
Yeah.
Peter, what was his name? I know who you're talking about. It had Bruce Willis in it. I know that.
Mm-hmm. Jason Statham, is he in Bridesmaids?
No. I don't think Jason Statham played a cop either. I'm not sure. Of course, I could be wrong.
Is Ray Liotta in Bridesmaids? He was in Copland.
Yeah, and he played a cop.
With Jeanine Garofalo.
He played a cop in Observe and Report. Fantastic movie.
Ray Liotta's played cops hundreds of times, probably.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
He is a cop. Not a cop.
Maybe he was. I can't remember if he was in Bridesmaids or not. I'm at a loss. Yeah.
It was Terry Crews.
Terry Crews! Yes.
Oh, man. Yes, okay.
That's right. Mm. Oh, yeah.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He's everywhere.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Mr. Pectoral.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that, he did this, like, ad... for something muscle music
in
that where you can play as muscles mm-hmm. on the keyboard. It was like an interactive Vimeo thing back in the day. Blew my mind.
Scary looking.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah. All right, Seth, you got a question for us?
Yeah, right. I do. I think maybe you'll be able to, I don't think this is incredibly difficult.
Please.
The Brown Derby restaurant in Hollywood, California was the birthplace of a famous kind of salad in the 1930s. Hmm. What kind of salad was it?
The Brown Derby?
The Brown Derby restaurant in Hollywood, California.
All right, so let's talk about salads.
Yeah, there's a... I know a lot of salads are said to be made one place or another. I'm thinking it's either the Caesar or the Cobb, but I think one of them actually made in Mexico.
Hmm.
In Mexico?
I mean, maybe. That sounds like it could be right.
Yeah, I'm thinking Caesar.
Oh, okay. So Cobb was the first thing that came to mind. I don't know why, like Derby, Cobb, they both have bees in them, you know, not literal bees, just the letter bees. And then I was also thinking maybe a wedge salad, you know, that's another kind of salad type that I could think of. That's like, I don't know, my perspective on a wedge salad is just, it's very lazy because you just like You don't even chop up the lettuce. Yeah, you just serve it as a wedge. Like it's like some kind of fucking sad cake that came out of the ground.
The sad cake salad.
Mix up, at least fluff up my lettuce, please. Toss my salad, if you will.
Fluff my lettuce.
Don't just give me a wedge. So either of these sound good. Caesar, I don't know why, but I just feel like that's got to have been developed before some restaurant in California. Cobb, though, that seems like some shit that you would try to like make a thing. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, we put some corn in it, so it's corn
on the cob. Is it maybe named after someone?
Cobb, a man named Cobb would wear a brown derby hat.
Yeah.
He would.
It sounds like it.
The Cobb salad.
The Cobb.
You want to go with Cobb?
I'm going with Cobb.
It's a mixture of tomatoes, avocado, bacon, eggs, and iceberg lettuce mixed with a French dressing named after owner Robert Cobb.
Yeah.
Probably had a fucking brown derby.
Probably at some point wore a brown derby, I'm sure.
Woo! Nice, like, man. It. All right.
You were right about that. The Caesar salad was, I think, invented in Mexico.
In Mexico.
You're correct about that, yeah.
All right.
Unless I get a miscorrection on that one next week or something like that. But I think it was. I think it was.
My question for you guys is a world records of world history.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like a double world question. Founded in the year 1088 AD.
Well.
The world's oldest continuously run university can be found in which country? And no, they do not have a redwood tree as a mascot.
Do they have a weirwood tree as a mascot?
They worship the old gods.
The Dean of Students, the Three-Eyed Raven.
1088.
And
1088 AD.
What was the end of it? It's the oldest.
Continuously run.
So it's ran today?
It's ran today, and it's been running ever since.
I think
since,
I know this.
Ever since.
I think I know it.
Yeah?
Yep.
Well, deliberate.
Yep.
It's got to be, I'm guessing, it has to be somewhere northern Africa around that area.
No.
That old? Maybe the wording of the 1000 AD.
1088.
Which would have been just before the Battle of Hastings.
Tell me. I mean, that's not the answer.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Is that a university?
1088. Oh, no, the battle. I'm just giving you a kind of a moving toward frame. It would be, it's the Norman invasion of England. And then not long after that, just before that, I think, was when Oxford was founded. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure. That's what I'm going to go with.
Consult with your teammates.
Do you?
I concur.
Okay. We're going to go with Oxford.
Oxford was opened in 1096.
So close.
This is a few years before.
So close.
It is actually in Italy at the University of Bologna. Right. Bologna.
They have a first name?
Yeah, it is oldest continuous university. Now the oldest surviving university is in Northern Africa in Fez, Morocco, but it was abandoned for a number of years, so it has not been continuously run, but there are several.
So you're telling me that Oxford is second.
Oxford is second.
I was close.
That's really good.
I was close. Less than 10 years.
Yeah.
But it makes all the difference for the question.
Pretty darn close.
So Italy, actually.
Well, that was close.
That's baloney.
100.
All right, Dallas. How about a
200 years? 199, 1096, 1088. I'm coming close on these guys.
This is going to be a little long one here.
Okay.
This is I don't know. I keep bringing back the 90s. It's a 90s television show.
Endears you.
Yeah, a 90s television series by the company Saban, the makers of Power Rangers. That took combat footage from another Japanese show. The show had a greater emphasis on the sitcom elements rather than the villains and such. The setting was three average kids enter a haunted Hillhurst mansion after accepting a dare. The house is home of monsters, and the monsters are going to eat the kids. However, in the midst of the chase, the kids accidentally bump a pipe organ, obviously, and they release an apparition named Flabber. In return for releasing him, he offers to grant them one wish, and their wish is to become their favorite superheroes.
What show is this?
Yes.
The Japanese show?
No, the American show. American show.
Oh, okay. So this is not... I hate to ask you to read it again.
No.
You're trying to get back at me for that Hetch Hetchy question.
Give me one more time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, it's... Let me see if I can put it in layman's terms so I'm not...
Because I'm sorry, just while you were saying it, I was like thinking Japanese shows.
Yeah, the whole time I'm thinking of Japanese shows.
As like Power Rangers was taken from a Japanese show, some of the footage was also taken from a Japanese show.
Okay.
But it's by the same company, Saban, that did the same thing with Power Rangers. But this show is a sitcom with three teenagers. The premise, they take a dare, go into a haunted mansion, they bump into an organ, release this apparition, and the apparition thanks them for releasing him by granting them a wish, and their wishes become their favorite superheroes. What is the name of the superheroes? And it's also the name of the television series.
Wow.
And this was in the 90s.
Yeah. And it focused more on the sitcom aspects, but the name of the superheroes was also the name of the series.
God, what network would put that on?
Fox.
Yeah. Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. That's who was airing Power Rangers. Yeah. So that would be my guess. I remember all right. I have a Hail Mary guess.
Go for it, because I've got nothing.
Because I used to wake up early before school so I could watch TV before school started. And originally Power Rangers was what, you know, got me up and going in the morning. So I would wake up, and then a couple times I would wake up a little bit earlier and there would be another show on right beforehand that was about three teenagers. And that show was called VR Troopers.
Ooh.
We are VR.
I don't think that's it though.
It's a sitcom borrowing from a Japanese, and there was definitely this Power Ranger like fighting segments.
I mean, that's as good as I can get, because I can't think of anything from that.
That
remotely comes close to that. So
yeah, if you can't think of anything, that's what my solo guess would be.
All right, VR Troopers is what we're going with then. All right.
It was Big Bad Beetleborgs.
Whoa! Big Bad Beetleborgs. Yes. Oh my gosh. Whoa, you're just like, that's scratching the depths of my brain and memory. I totally forgot about that show.
It's a cut.
Wow, good one. Whoa, man.
I wasn't just watching it.
Do you remember that?
I'm drawing a blank.
I vaguely remember it, but it's like...
Of course, the 90s were a blur to me, so...
Yeah. All right, Seth, you got another question for us?
I do. I think you guys can suss this one out. It's probably pretty easy, actually. Busboy Juan Romero cradled this former U.S. Attorney General's head and placed a rosary in his hand not long after he was shot in the ballroom of the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, California.
That again?
Okay. Busboy Juan Romero cradled this former U.S. Attorney General's head and placed a rosary in his hand not long after he was shot in the ballroom of the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, California.
Former Attorney General shot in the hotel of a California, in the lobby of a California hotel.
This is maybe a little stretch. Was he an attorney general at the time?
No.
That's what I thought. It was kind of make it a little
by saying suspect. That it this former U.S. attorney. Yeah. Well, yes. Okay.
I didn't know if he was. I understand. Like, I understand. Because of death. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm drawing a blank on this. My first guess was like Brady. Because there's the Brady Bill, but if I remember correctly, I can't remember his name, Bill Brady. He was a Secret Service agent, maybe, or somebody who stepped in front of a somebody that was trying to assassinate Reagan. So I don't think that's accurate. Attorney generals, I can name some recent attorney generals.
Yeah, back then,
like William Barr and Eric Holder, but. Not them. The answer is not either of them.
Trying to even figure out a time frame of the Ambassador Hotel. I know I've heard of this place.
Would you like a hint?
Yes. Yes, I would love a hint.
It happened on June 5th, 1968.
All right. I got it.
Yeah.
Yep, that helped. Bobby Kennedy.
Oh.
Bobby. I don't know if he was Attorney General, though. He wasn't Attorney General. When I said I got it, Seth, like, the corners of his mouth lifted up, and now they are...
When I give that hint, it's like a dead giveaway, and you know it. You got it.
I did?
Yeah.
Oh, it is Bobby Kennedy.
Oh, yeah, oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you were like,
okay.
Yeah, it's Bobby Kennedy. He was Attorney General under his brother.
If I had said, you know,
it was a guy running, you know, he was about to announce a run for president. If I had said all of those things, you'd know it was Bobby Kennedy.
Yeah.
Most people don't know that he was Attorney General under, you know, during his brother's term. So a lot of people don't, you know, that's where I kind of was trying to give the curveball to it. But whenever you say an assassination of a U.S. official in 1968, that automatically gravitates everybody back.
Yep.
A lot of people know it by Ambassador Hotel, Los Angeles, California.
Right. Ambassador. You know, so. That's what I was trying to remember.
That was the final clue I needed to lock it all in.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like rotating the puzzle in my brain. Like, oh, I wanted Bobby
you
guys. Kennedy.
Yeah, I had to give you that little hint there.
Thanks. Yeah. Appreciate it. All right. My last question for you guys this round is a classic PC gaming question.
Ooh.
And I do mean classic here. I do mean classic. I believe, you know, we've all probably played PC games in this era. The year is 1990.
Okay.
Here's the question. The Atari game titled Cube is the first version of what popular PC game, which was first released in Microsoft Entertainment Package 1, 1990. If you had a Windows machine in 1990, this was probably installed on it. Its predecessor was a game called Cube for the Atari, but it became what game that was included in the Microsoft Entertainment Package?
Definitely had
one?
An Atari.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot remember the game Cube. Maybe Cubert.
Mm-hmm. Different game.
That was an arcade game that was fantastic. I loved that game.
Cube.
Well, I mean, the only thing that I can think that would be on a PC in 1990, I mean, I didn't really touch computers back at all. At all until, you know, the 2000s. But I do remember, I mean, you know, there's that kid, the game that all the kids play now, Minecraft, or not all the kids. I think it's kind of gone the way of the buffalo for most kids, you know, with the advent of other things like, you know, I don't know, Pokemon. Shit, I don't know what kids do. Except my daughter, she likes unicorns. Hell. The only thing I can think of from those days is Minecraft.
Minecraft? Is it that old?
I think. I mean, I remember that, like, in the 90s, there was that PC version of Minecraft that was everywhere. I mean, you know, for people, but I never touched it. I didn't know. That's my only guess. That's all I can come up with, because you're asking somebody that knew you know nothing about PCs in the 90s at all.
Minecraft, it is a little early for Minecraft, but I will tell you you're close.
Okay.
Yeah, but Minecraft, I think 10, 15 years later, probably.
Oh, really?
When you said Minecraft, this might be a little too late. I was thinking Minesweeper.
I'm sorry. Minesweeper. Minesweeper.
Minesweeper is correct.
Yes.
Minesweeper is correct. Yes.
You're right. Yes, yep. Minesweeper.
Yeah, so Cube
good
is...
Good call. Thank you. Yeah.
Cube ooh, was the minefield was wrapped on a cube in Cube, but it was the same idea. You would pick a vertices and it would tell you how many mines are around it.
Yes,
and then they made a flattened version basically for the PC that became Minesweeper. So I just you know, I was like, I wonder who made Minesweeper.
Yeah.
And it turned out it was like a pencil and paper game, like in the I think the Army or the Navy, some military. You know, service members like, you know, played it and shared it like
a little strategy
almost like
game
Battleship
there.
Or something. And then this Cube game was the first video game version idea of like the how many mines are around the point. And then eventually a bunch of different versions were made and Microsoft picked one developer and was like, this is our game. Cool. All right. So is that all three? Is that three for everybody?
I think so.
Great.
For three.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Just one short break and then we'll be back with some final questions.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we're going now.
Oh.
I think now we're back.
All right.
I thought we were back before, but as I was saying, thanks for coming on the show today, guys. I really appreciate having you in the studio.
It's a good time.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. All right. So, Seth, you going to kick off this final question round?
Yeah, and I'd like to preface it by saying that there was a question back, and I think in, it had to be at least 20 episodes ago, from one of your listeners in like Portland, Oregon. I think it was maybe a quizmaster from out there. But he had asked the question, it was a rate my question, I think. And it was kind of a two-part. If you couldn't get it from one angle, you could get it from another. And it was, what was the name of the band that Lionel Richie was in? This band shares a name with the mascot of a university in Tennessee. You want to read it? Go ahead.
Yeah. It's the athletic teams of what Southeastern Conference school share a name with a band of which Lionel Richie was a member from 1968 to 1982. That's from the guy who knows everything in Portland, Oregon,
right,
from episode 21, A Tale of Two Captains.
I like the question because you can, you know, suss it out from both directions. If you can't get it from one, you can get it from the other.
Yeah.
And I appreciate questions like that, you know, if you don't know one. And that's what kind of brought me to write this question for today. If you can't get it from one side, I think it's probably a little harder than that one. I like hard questions.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
But Here we go. Let's see if you can do it. I'm looking for the name of a famous surfing location located in Princeton by the Sea in Northern California, known for being one of the most deadly surf spots in the world, with waves that crash into jagged rocks, sometimes reaching over 30 feet. This location shares its name with the call sign of a leading character from a movie based in San Diego that features a supporting role played by a young Meg Ryan.
And so the movie has to be Top Gun. Wasn't she in Top Gun?
It's been so long, but...
She was Goose's wife.
Oh.
I believe, in Top Gun.
Oh, and I'm trying to remember this now.
The call signs. I can't remember anyone other than Maverick, Goose. Ooh, what's the other? I know it's the other guy, and it's going to piss me off so bad. Would it be an island out there or something?
Goose Island. Vodka.
That's what I'm Goose Island.
I mean, maybe it is Goose.
It could be.
Or Maverick. Yeah. Maverick, it's dangerous.
It is.
You got to be a Maverick to do it.
You got to be a Maverick in order to do it.
Are we overthinking this, maybe?
We might be overthinking it.
What do you think about Maverick?
I like Maverick. And if it's Goose Island, I'm going to laugh. But yeah. I want to go with Maverick.
Well, that's our answer, Maverick. And hopefully it doesn't need Beach or Dirt. We're going with the call sign.
Ooh,
answer.
I hate that stare. That
his
look.
Face is obscured by the mic. I can't see his expression. Uh-oh.
Dead.
What is this? What's going on?
Mavericks.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yes.
I'm so happy you guys sussed that one out. It was. Think about the call sign of a lead character. Who was the lead character?
Lead character.
Yes. Wow. It was Tom Cruise's Maverick. It's Mavericks.
Done oversussed.
I know. Yeah. Way too hard.
I really spent a long time on that question. Yeah, I'm glad you guys figured it out. I really am. Yeah,
good question. I like the dual approach. We definitely needed the Top Gun.
Yeah.
And good job, Dallas, for
I loved it when I didn't think anybody was going to get, you know, Top Gun. I didn't think either one of you guys were going to get that. And then when he said Top Gun, I'm like, I think they'll get it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That was his 190 Chewbacca moment right there. All right. My final question for you guys has to deal with band name origins.
Ooh.
That's the category. What indie rock band has a name that's derived from a 1976 satirical mystery comedy film, which stars Peter Sellers and Peter Falk? So here's another two way you can get there. They're an indie rock band. I'll tell you, they're from Bloomington, Indiana. That's where they're from. So they're a double indie band. They're an indie band from Indiana.
They're an indie band.
Yeah. Indie times two. What indie rock band's name is derived from a 1976 satirical mystery comedy film starring Peter Sellers and Peter Falk?
Mystery comedy.
You give a year? Was it the 70s?
The movie came out in the 70s, but they are a modern, current active indie rock band. And as another hint, I'll tell you, they became active in the year 2000.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Ooh. What are the modern indie rock bands that everybody knows?
Starting in the 2000s.
Starting around 2000. Did Vampire Weekend start around that? Well, I think it's Vampire Weekend.
I've given you quite a few hints, so I'm just going to
poke your face. You know what? I don't know. What did you say it was? A mystery?
It's a mystery comedy film.
Mystery comedy would go together with, you know, Vampire Weekend sounds like a mystery comedy.
It does.
So, and they started around, I remember hearing them around that time. Are they from Bloomington, Indiana? Boy, when you look at those guys, they sure look Midwestern. I think that's who it is. That's my guess.
I think of other indie bands from that era. 2000. Well, so I'm thinking of is before that time. Indie rock.
The Shins. I know they were from around that time too, but I don't think it's them. I don't.
Peter
think
Sellers and Peter Falk in The Shins.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, that's the only other indie rock band that I can think of from back in those days. I think I gotta go ahead with man. It's Counting Crows. No, I'm sorry. It's Vampire Weekend. I'm feeling good about that answer.
Feeling good.
Yeah. I know a lot of, you know, Peter Sellers movie. I mean, he'd made being there in 1979, which is a great movie, and then. But I just don't know from that time. Of course, he was on The Goons in the 1960s. Was he on that? I think he was. But yeah, I think it's Vampire Weekend. I think it is. I don't know.
I'll just go with Vampire Weekend.
I don't mean to berate you man.
No.
I don't. You can think of another indie rock band.
That's what I'm trying to think of.
That like sounds like Peter Sellers movie.
That's the hard part. Yeah. No. Vampire Weekend.
You guys, I'll tell you, Vampire Weekend formed in New York City in the year 2006.
Okay, they're later.
Do you want a song by the band to maybe help pull?
Sure.
Arguably biggest hit, highest ranking song on the Billboard Top 100, I believe, hit number 78. The song is Bitter Drink, Bitter Moon. Does that help?
Negative Ghost Rider. Bitter Drink, Bitter Moon.
Oh, God. No, okay. It doesn't help.
The movie and the band are titled Murder by Death.
Murder by Death.
Which was a part of a series of mostly comedies that were released between the mid-1970s and mid-1980s that revived the old dark house genre, which include such hits as The Private Eyes, Bloodbath at the House of Death, and also 1985's Clue.
Yeah.
Murder by Death is also notable for being the movie that Sir Alec Guinness was working on when he was delivered the script to Star Wars. Which he read on set while filming this movie. So, interesting facts about Murder by Death there. The movie and the band. Pretty decent band. Yeah. Check them out if you're not familiar. All right. So, that's all the questions that we have for trivia. Thanks again, guys, for coming on. Dallas, will you please remind our listeners where we can take in your trivia?
You can take in my trivia every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. at 1025's Cape Cod location.
Yeah, it's great, too.
Don't forget about the 1025 downtown location. They don't have trivia out there, but, man, I love their food.
It's great.
Yeah. You ever talk to them about doing trivia downtown?
Yeah, we're still in the figuring out phase on a day and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. And Seth, where can you be found doing your tours again?
I can be found slaving in the beds of trucks off Ford Street in Fort Myers doing my day job at Rhino Linings. But if
you'd
really like
you there?
I don't. Well, okay. I mean, I do. I'll if you by. Own a truck, please come by. But I do take out guided historical tours. They're a lot of fun in downtown Fort Myers on the corner of Broadway and First at the Franklin Shop. So the company's called True Tours, truetours.net. And I'd just like to point out one thing before we go. Was there a binding thread, so to speak, in any of my questions today that you recognized?
And go back.
Yeah, so we had the there was a lot of, it seemed like a lot of California.
Yeah.
There was gold, was mascots, there was...
Where's Mark?
You dirty dog. Okay, yes, Mark is on vacation right now.
We miss you, Mark.
Very good.
That was nice.
What a fine dedication there. Good thinking, man. Good thinking.
Sneaky Pete.
All right. Be sure to visit Dallas at 1025 for his trivia on Tuesdays and check out a true tour by Seth. If you're in the area.
One last thing. Mm-hmm. My wife and I, we have a band with our daughter. She's the leader. It's called the Shy Tunas. You can go to shytunasbandcamp.com. Bandcamp, ShyTunas Bandcamp. We also have a YouTube channel, ShyTunas, where we do our Cramped Always sessions, things like that. We'll be playing at the Florida Folk Festival Memorial Day weekend. And we just got done back in February working on a record called February Fiasco. We decided, or we were part of a February challenge, the 28-day challenge, which is to try and write and record 10 songs in the shortest month that ever was.
Wow.
28 days, and we got that done, and it's a really great record that we're proud of called February Fiasco. You can find that online, ShyTunas Bandcamp or the ShyTunas YouTube page. We're very, very proud of that.
Yeah, and you can check the show notes for this episode. We'll put links to all of that right there for you, so it'll take you right to where you need to be.
And thanks for having me again, man.
Oh, yeah,
I love doing this. It's a lot of fun.
I wish I could have, you know, every guest every episode, basically. You know, it would be cool to have like a 20-man or 20-person, rather.
That'd be rough.
Trivia,
like trivia, yeah,
it would be
chorus.
It would be rough for the listener, for sure. So we have to dole it out. But I hope that we can have both of you guys back on very soon.
Thanks,
like that.
That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Quizmaster Lee. You can catch me hosting No Nonsense Trivia live on Mondays at Three Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers at 7:30. Then again on Wednesdays at Berry Me Brewing Company, also in Fort Myers. That show starting at 7. This week also, I will be doing trivia right afterwards, starting at 9 o'clock at Nice Guys Pizza on Wednesday. And of course, each and every Thursday, I'm at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral. That show starting at 7:30. Don't forget, you can also catch me there on Saturday this week for Disney Trivia on May 11th. That would be from 4 to 6 p.m. We're doing 4 rounds of Disney Trivia. You can win some Number 3 gift cards for some free beer. You can get some Disney swag. We'll have those books by Rhiannon, The Drinking at Disney Guide. Tons of good stuff happening that day. All right, thanks for listening. Join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No by sharing our podcast with a friend on your social media accounts. You could also leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. You can support us on Patreon. Did I just say that already? Did I mention the Patreon?
Oh my gosh,
there's so much in this script.
It's a blur.
The listeners have tuned out as well. But yes, you can indeed support us on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking on the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page. Thank you, supporters. Thank you, Patreon supporters. Our quiz daddies, Tommy from the Electric Mud and Tim from San Diego, a member of Pat's Garden Service. Thanks to our team captains, Kristen and Fletcher. Thanks for keeping Mark company on this trip out to California. Thanks also to our proverbial light keepers, Aaron, Sarah, Brina, Carly, Christopher, Josh, Max, Lucas, Sean, Jerry, and Gil. And a big thanks also to our Rumpelsnailskins, Elise, Michael C., and Michael J. If you'd like to support the podcast, just go sign up for the Patreon. You get access to those bonus episodes. I recently put up my own personal review of Space Jam, a little deleted scene from me and Mark's conversation, and I caught some shit for giving that.
It's controversial.
One star. Yeah, I gave it a one-star review. Space Jam's not good, guys. I thought I was going to like it a lot more, and I went back and watched it, and I was like, wait a second. This is terrible.
It's not. I watched it like, go.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've often heard Bill Murray's worst film.
It's pretty bad. I've actually never seen the Garfield movie, so I can't. Those to me are kind of like, I think society believes that's his worst thing that he's made, but he is not good in Space Jam. I challenge anybody who says that Space Jam's a good movie right now, think of one Bill Murray joke from that movie without looking it up. You can't. There are no good jokes in it. But I digress. Go listen to our Patreon. That's you don't even have to sign up to hear that. I put up the bitching about Space Jam totally for free, so you get a sample for the kind of bonus content that we put up. You can also write us with a rate my question or a miscorrection at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at No Non Trivia. We have a Facebook group. Join that. You can talk directly to us and talk to each other. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating, please, on iTunes, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. 5 stars only, please. Until next time, No Nonsense listeners, have a great week.